Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We're studying the book of 2 Corinthians, God's Messengers. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, over to chapter 7 and verse 1, relationships of God's messengers. Let's take a look at that passage before we dig into it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What? Yeah, that means no missionary dating, no unequal marriages, no partnerships with unbelievers, different spirits with contrasting values. That's the issue. It's incompatibility. Not hard to understand when you read the text. Bad will damage good rather than good benefiting from bad. That's reality. Then why is that? Because you become one in heart and mind with the yoke fellow, grasping their values. Paul is telling Christians to not get mixed up with the things of the world. In fact, he tells believers to separate themselves from the things of the world and from those who participate in the things of the world. Listen, there's no such thing as staying the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. The Christian is propelled toward holiness. The unbeliever is driven to filthiness or things that are not pleasing to the Lord. God's messengers are careful about their relationships. Let me give you three truths from our text regarding relationships and Christians. First, there's a reason for right relationships. Again, verse 14 to verse 16, the first part of it. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Incompatibility. The five examples are given. There's no basis for fellowship between the righteous and the unrighteous. You know why? Because koinonia, the fellowship that comes spiritually, is absent. There's no basis for communion between light and darkness because one overcomes the other. So you can't have a partnership. There's no basis for peace between Jesus Christ and Satan. We're talking about forces of good and evil. It's having accord. There's no accord. It's a musical idea. And what, where there's no accord, there's discord. There's no basis for friendship between believers and unbelievers. They have opposite and contrasting values. The parts don't fit. And there's no basis for agreement between holy God and unholy idols. It's a picture of temples. We're talking about worship here. There's no agreement between the worship of God in adoration and His holiness and worshiping idols. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us in verse 14 down to verse 22, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or that what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" You see, the Christian is in the process of moving toward holiness. And wrong relationships hinder that process. Second, the promises of right relationships. Look at verse 16, the second part of it, over to verse 18. "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and will walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Because Christians are the temple of the Holy Spirit, God dwells in and among Christians. God walks with Christians. And God treats Christians as sons and daughters. He doesn't walk in sinful filth. Children are commanded to obey their parents. And Christians are to obey their Heavenly Father. Christians are separated from evil and dedicated to God. So any idols are rivals to God. And then third, the call to right relationships. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." What promises? God dwelling in us? God walking with us? God becoming our Father in heaven? All ungodliness must go in order to grow spiritually. Filthiness of the flesh and spirit versus perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And what is the fear of God? While living in the world, in contact with unbelievers, the Christian is to have nothing in common with the world's darkness, evil, unrighteousness, and immorality. Paul concentrated on his point like a lens sharpened into focus. He moved from understanding the reasons for right relationships to accepting the promise of right relationships, to fulfilling the call to right relationships. Let me ask you, where are you? Are your relationships right relationships? But Pastor, well, here I go meddling. If you're married to an unbeliever, seek grace. Seek grace. If you're married to an unbeliever, seek grace, because that relationship isn't to be broken. All other unions can and should be broken. We can't get away from having associates and even developing friendships because of just living this life, the workplace, the marketplace, within the families. We can't get away from having relationships, but we don't pursue them, and we don't seek to make them intimate. You have a great day.